Hello and welcome to the Canon Convos podcast. I'm your host, Jared Singh, and today on the show, we have Marley Morgan, a First Nations photographer based in Coffs Harbour. We talk about the importance of allowing your identity to shine through in your photography, the challenges of the industry, and some of the great work she is doing with Indigenous communities. Hope you enjoy. Hello, Marley, and welcome to the Canon Convos podcast.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to talk to you. I've seen your work and it's really beautiful. Where are you at the moment?
I am in Coffs Harbour, Goombengi country.
I was hoping you could tell me a bit about the work that you do.
So I'm a First Nation photographer and my work centres around my beautiful culture.
And I've seen a lot of your work with portraits and kind of maternity and family portraits, and would you say that's most of your work these days, or is it a huge variety?
At the moment, I'm doing a lot of work around Aboriginal maternity and maternal health and children. I've just recently given birth 3 months ago, so I'm very passionate about that and just educating, because it's important to look after ourselves during pregnancy and postpartum period. So just showcasing that and just connecting with Aboriginal women and doing, self-love sessions, show how gorgeous they look and building their confidence during these times.
How did you first start out in photography? What was the first time you were interested in it or picked up a camera? Where did that all begin?
So I've had an interest since I was young. My first camera was like this skinny little Polaroid camera. I forget exactly what it was called. I think it was like an IMAX or something. And it had these tiny little square Polaroids. So I was obsessed because my dad had a film Canon. And it was my dream to get a camera like that. But I had the Polaroid. So I went on to that to disposable cameras. Until I could afford my first Canon, it was like the best camera to start out with. So I stuck with that for a few years, built up some lenses. My first lens that I'd bought was the 85mm.
What kind of stuff were you shooting back then?
Oh, just whatever. My kids, anything. My garden, flowers, my pet.
That's usually where you start. Pets as well?
Yeah. Yeah. Someone would let me photograph their pet, I was there. But
I think that's the usual, yeah. the usual pathway. You know, you start with babies, garden, macro, pets, and that's just what the gauntlet that everybody has to run through at the beginning.
Oh, definitely. And then my 300D died, so I was devastated. Like, I didn't have the money to upgrade. A dear friend of mine found out that my camera had passed on and offered me his 7D Mark II. So I was stoked. I was like, yes, definitely. How can I pay you back? And he was just happy to give it to me just as a kind gesture. And I can't thank him enough, because that's when my photography really did start excelling, and I started experimenting and doing more portraiture.
Amazing. That's when it got serious, when you got the 7D.
Yeah.
What kind of Canon gear are you shooting with at the moment?
I'm shooting with the R6 and I love it. It is my absolute favourite camera I've ever owned.
It must have been a recent upgrade, because it hasn't been out for very long.
It was, and I was so excited when I had the money for it. I was straight to the shop. I had been actually visiting my camera shop for like weeks, just like admiring it in the glass. So, yeah, it was amazing.
And what were you shooting with before that?
The RP, which is a great camera also. I love it. It was so good to switch from DSLR to mirrorless.
And I suppose it's a transition that a lot of people are going through at the moment, you know, moving from DSLRs to the mirrorless system. Did you have any worries or concerns about it when you first kind of left the DSLR world?
No, not at all. I heard such great things, and had watched many reviews before switching over. I was sold. That was it for me. I was going to mirrorless. There was no stopping me.
I suppose the main thing that I hear from people when I, you know, talk to them about, you know, I say to everybody, like, it's mirrorless is where it is now. You will need to upgrade. The technology is so much better. Everything about it basically is better. But people are still hesitant. And I think, I mean, the main thing I get is that having to change over all of their lenses to the new RF mount, that's a big deal. And it is, you know, you kind of do have to start building your kit again, but there is the adapter and you can kind of, you know, there's a transition you can slowly make. And yeah, just the technology in the mount alone is, you know, worth slowly upgrading all your lenses and gear. And was there ever a big break moment that you can recall, or, you know, a moment where it clicked and you started thinking maybe it could progress from just being a hobby to a career? Did you have a moment like that?
Well, my career blew up really quick. I still don't know how. I just I got noticed by Mary Claire and they asked to use one of my images. So I think from there on, it just kind of went really fast. It was what my career highlight was. I'm from a small town called Lightning Ridge originally, and my local post office had posted on their Facebook about my image being in the magazine and how proud the town was for me. So
wow,
that was my big moment for me, being recognized by my town. Yeah.
And I guess in a way, does that make you thankful to be from a small town? Because often people might think that you need to be in the big city, be surrounded by, you know, where all the clients and headquarters are, and people feel like you need to be in amongst all that stuff to kind of find your break.
Well, at the moment, I live in Coffs Harbour, which is still quite regional, and the benefit for me is building the relationship with the community, just having that trust and being invited along to local events and the families trusting me with taking their photos. It's, for me, that's what means the most. It beats any magazine publication or any, you know, big job, just having that community relationship.
And do you find that photography is just a great way to connect with people in your community and gives you like a reason to talk to people and connect with them? Whereas if you didn't have a camera in your hand, you probably wouldn't know, you know, a third of the people around your town, because there's no reason to just go up and you know, chat or connect, or you don't really get that. It stays pretty surface level, I think. But once you have a camera and you have a reason to do something with somebody, you suddenly just, it just opens up a lot of doors.
Oh, 100%. I am a very shy person, so for me to go and start a conversation or just go up and engage in a group chat is just, it's very scary for me, whereas photography has kind of got me out of my comfort zone, and I've got to build some amazing relationships. Some of my best friends I have now I've made through my photography, which I'm very grateful for.
I know what you mean about being shy, because I'm pretty shy as well in some situations, and sometimes I'll be at an event or be somewhere where I don't even really have to take photos, but I'll just take my camera just so I can hold it, and then if I ever just need to leave or get away from someone, I just say, you know, got to take some photos, see ya.
Yeah, I do that too. It's like my security blanket, like I just have to have it there. I feel so much more comfortable with my camera in my hand.
So what, coming back to your magazine feature, what were the images that they featured?
So I photographed two young emerging Aboriginal models, and the editor had come across my Instagram and she was really in love with the image, and she was doing a story on Aboriginal businesses. And for me, I was very fresh into the business world and had experienced quite a lot of racism. I didn't think anyone had any interest in what I was doing that wasn't from my community. So to get that, it meant a lot.
When you talk about racism and some of the challenges that you face, can you speak a little more about what these challenges have been?
Well, I guess a lot of my work is on social media. That's where I showcase my work. And there's a lot of trolls out there. There are a lot of horrible people that just have really nasty things to say. So I've had to deal with that. And as a First Nation Aboriginal woman in the business space, photography is very white male dominated, and it can be really intimidating. And I feel at times that I'm not taken seriously still to this day, even though I've been doing it for quite a while now. I still feel, that I'm not taken serious, or I'm kind of, how would I say this, like a diversity box to tick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that can really, really, really be disappointing. Do you feel that way as a creative? When you put so much pride into your work.
Well, I'm sorry that you face these kind of horrible things. It's just, it must be tough to deal with that. On top of, just everything else, it's a hard industry enough as it is.
Yeah, definitely. It is a really hard industry to break out in, let alone like having these other challenges.
And has your approach to, facing these barriers, has that changed over time? I imagine that when you're first starting out, it probably was a lot more overwhelming and just tougher to deal with. But has your time in the industry evolved? Have you developed methods of like an approach to kind of overcoming these things?
Oh, definitely. I feel like as I've matured, I've gotten a lot stronger, and I just ignore it now. Like sometimes some things are really hard to ignore and it does get to me, but a lot of the time it's just dust it off. It's nothing. I have a lot of confidence in my work. I trust my vision. What they say, it doesn't bother me. I know they're just trolls.
And I think that's like you said, just putting your work first and letting your work speak for itself.
I find that I'm being a shy person, having my work speak for itself, and at times not knowing how to approach situations with racism. Yeah, my work does the talking for me.
So there are so many photographers out there. It is a tough industry to break into. I was wondering, is there anything that you do deliberately to stand out from the crowd or to distinguish yourself? Is that something you focus on?
So my way of standing out, I think, is I try and put as much of myself into my work as possible. I have a deep connection to my culture and country, so I try to reflect that through my imagery. So I think that's what stands out for me. I love showcasing the beautiful country I live in also within my imagery, so. Yeah, I guess that's how I stand out.
And I think that's the best way to, is just to embrace yourself and empower yourself. And that's, as cheesy and cliche as it sounds, like there is only one you. Like that is how you, that is the easiest way to stand out, is just to be yourself. And it sounds simple. But it actually is quite hard to work out. And I think it takes people years to figure this out because it's not as easy as it sounds and it's quite nuanced. But I think once you find, what drives you, what is unique about your upbringing and your background and your context, if once you kind of figure out all those things and piece it together, it flows through into your work.
I feel like my work didn't really stand out until I just said, screw it. I'm going to be me. You're either going to hate it or love it. And when I started really just showcasing my culture and what I love, that's when people started, taking notice. And that's when I actually started to build friendships and relationships also. And I'm just like, I'm going to be me. no more being what everyone else wants me to be.
Right. So when you say you being you, that means connecting with what you love, shooting what you love, not being held back by any kind of external voices in the crowd saying anything. But what actually changed? What were you shooting before, or what did you feel pressured to shoot?
I was shooting a mixture. I didn't really have a style. I went from doing like boudoir, which is, I love it, but that's not me.
And why were you shooting that? Did somebody tell you that was a good thing to do, or like where did it come from?
I just tried everything. I tried different styles, like where I thought I could, you know, there was a market for, and I love that style, but it just wasn't me. I couldn't perfect it, and I tried a multiple styles of photography.
So you were driven more by
what you thought might be a good business direction. You thought that this might be the way to make a career out of photography rather than the other way around.
Yeah, 100%. I even did a bit of weddings, and I love wedding photography. I really do, but it was not for me with my style. So I found when I started photographing my culture and just the community, that's when I found, you know, my place where I felt most comfortable and belonged.
And do you think this focus that you have is kind of like a greater purpose, perhaps? Does that guide your decisions with photography and the way that you want your career to go? Is it helpful having a higher purpose?
It's what keeps me going with my business, and knowing that I have a lot of support also.
How important do you think it is to support other Indigenous photographers and artists and creatives?
It's incredibly important to support Aboriginal artists and other creatives, because when you support Black, you're putting money back into the Black economy.
Do you have any projects that you're working on at the moment, anything you're excited about?
Well, at the moment, I'm working on a project with showcasing our Aboriginal women and how strong we are. But I'm also going on to another project starting this weekend where I'm showcasing people who are in the community who are caring for country. My first shoot is with a young ranger, and she's going to be taking me out and giving me a tour of bush tucker and some beautiful sights. So I'm really excited about that.
And where's that going to be?
It's going to be here in Coffs Harbour. Coffs Harbour is stunning. It is such beautiful country. I'm very privileged to live here. There's so much to see.
And this will be a portrait project. Do you have an end destination in mind?
No, I'm keen to continue this for as long as I need to. I'm so excited to meet people who are in the industry or doing great things with looking after our country and environment.
What I get a sense of from you is that, you know, photography is kind of the medium to experience all of these amazing things, to connect with community, to connect with people. It's almost as if the photography like is an added bonus later on.
I meet some incredible people and I love it. Like, I'm a shy person, but once you get me started, I will talk your ears off, and I love listening and I love learning and I love the sights I get to see. I really do appreciate my job and what I do.
Do you have any advice for younger photographers or emerging photographers who might be coming up to the space, who might be listening? Has there been any great advice that you've received or that you've worked out as you've gone through your journey?
Keep experimenting. Find what works for you. Don't do what's in trend. Just find what you love. And just keep exploring different styles of photography until, you know, you feel like you've found the one. That's my advice, because I've listened to a lot of people on the outside who've tried to put in, I guess, like what I should be doing, what type of style, and I'm really glad I didn't take their advice.
Forge your own journey.
Yes.
Are there any photographers that you look up to or that you draw inspiration from?
My biggest inspiration is Aunty Barbara McGrady. She has been doing photojournalism for a very long time. So she's led the way for not just myself, but a lot of other photographers. She's incredible. She's still going. And if you have not heard of her, you need to look her up because she is an inspiration.
What kind of work does she do?
She does a lot of photojournalism, and it's from a Aboriginal woman's perspective who has seen a lot in her time. She's been doing it for a very long time, so she's pretty much seen it all, what we've been through as Aboriginal people and what we are still experiencing. She documents it all.
And I suppose it's great that that's your inspiration and photojournalistic photographer, because, you know, so much of, what we see or what's recorded is through phones and through people may start to take for granted the importance of photojournalism.
I have such an appreciation for photojournalism. Just being able to tell a story with one image is just amazing, in my opinion.
Does it inspire you to, you know, explore that genre or try different things?
Yes, definitely. I would love to go into photojournalism, and I feel like, you know, with my journey, that is a good possibility in the next few years. It's something that I would love to do.
I guess also, what is your general approach to finding work? Do you need to go out there and find it? Does it come to you?
A lot of the work at the moment, it's commissioned. I did have a small break on maternity leave, so I've taken a lot of work on, which has been fun. It's kept me busy. But I like doing my little creative projects also, like working with models. It gives me a chance to get creative, and so I'm not doing the same old, but I do appreciate the businesses I work with. I will never work with a business that morals don't align with mine, and that is very in line with my work.
What are your hopes for the next few years? Do you have any goals that you're really working towards?
So my goal would be to get into photojournalism, but I've always wanted to get into doing movie stills. I'm a huge movie buff. So, I mean, even if I got the odd few jobs, I would love it. But, yeah, my goal is just to keep enjoying what I do, keep meeting new people and visiting new places, and eventually get overseas once we're not in lockdown.
Very soon, in a week or so, I'll be heading up to Cairns for the Laura Dance Festival.
That sounds amazing.
Yes, I'm working on a photography and film project, showcasing all the Indigenous dancers that are coming through, and I'm super excited. I haven't really, been in such a situation or event. Do you have any tips for me?
I would first go and meet with the traditional landowners, just go meet with the elders and just find out more about the country that you're on. And that's my advice to everyone. Go find out about the country you're on and the language group and meet with the traditional owners.
Yeah, I think that's super important, because it's pretty, can be pretty intimidating, just people showing up with cameras who this applies to anyone, any kind of photograph you take around the world, but if your first contact with somebody is them holding up a massive telephoto, zooming into your face, probably not gonna, you know, end so well. You're probably taking a few steps backwards in the trust department. So yeah, hopefully I can build some trust and just do things the right way, because I'd love to. I just can't wait to immerse myself in this experience.
That sounds amazing. I'm really jealous. Sounds awesome. But yes, enjoy yourself and make sure you share lots of images. And thank you for asking for my advice. That's lovely.
It was awesome to talk to you. Good luck with everything. Good luck with your projects coming up.
Thank you.
That was photographer Marley Morgan, who's based out of Coffs Harbour. You can check out her work in the links in the show notes. I'm Jared Singh, and I hope to see you next time.